Welcome to Her Best Dad Ever. This is Hector.
This is Marquet.
We're two girl dads who know we can't do this fatherhood thing on our own and want to see a global community where girl dads can feel seen, celebrated, supported, and encouraged.
On this podcast, we're going to have honest conversations with each other, other girl dads, and the daughters they raised. Here's to learning.
And here's to growing.
Here's to becoming her best dad ever.
If you want to follow us on social media, find us with the handle Her Best Dad Ever, or you can find us on our website, www.herbestdadever.com. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode.
We also wanted to let you know that for this Father's Day, we have released a very special Her Best Dad Ever dad hat. Again, it's a Her Best Dad Ever dad hat. You can get all the details if you go to our website, www.herbestdadever.com, under our merchandise tab. And for a special 15% discount, all you need to do is text the word girl dad. Again, that's girl dad, no space, to number 866-860-6395. Again, girl dad to 866-860-6395 for a 15% off discount of our Her Best Dad Ever dad hat. Welcome everybody to another episode of Her Best Dad Ever. This week's special guest is an amazing husband, proud father, avid runner, and just now voted Her Best Dad Ever Best Dressed Dad.
Yes.
with his calm persona and caring heart, he's shown himself to be a good person and kind friend. Spending most of his days caring for his daughters, this pure girl dad is the first stay-at-home dad on the show. A quiet leader, a man with purpose. Please welcome this week's guest, Danny Quesada. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
No, thanks for having me. That's a great, great intro. Thanks for having me, guys. It's good to catch up and talk with you guys.
Awesome.
It's been a minute.
It has. Minute. It has.
Yeah.
Danny, tell our listeners a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So, my name is Danny. I married my wife, Katie, in 2009. We've been dating since, our senior year of high school.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Crazy. And then, yeah, we had our, first daughter in, 2016. And that's Gracie. She's going to be six like next week.
Oh my gosh.
And then our second daughter, Lane, just turned three. So yeah, we got two girls, we're family of four. Yeah, we're loving it. We live, my wife and I, we both grew up in, Orange, Tustin area in California. And then we lived for a bit in like Pasadena, Monrovia area. And now, for the past 2 or 3 years, we've been back down, in Orange and, yeah, just loving it.
I love it, man. I love, just hearing about you. You and I don't talk as much. We've talked to Katie a couple times, your wife.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool hearing through her and seeing on social media and just seeing through mutual friends, knowing kind of the stuff you're up to. Just what a cool dude you are.
Yeah.
And how you guys' family is growing. And it really is a beautiful thing, man. I want to ask, just kind of right out the gate, what do you feel at this point in your journey? What does it take to be a good girl dad?
Wow. Yeah. I think only being a dad to two girls, to me, it's just like, you know, parenting. I don't have the disclaimer of, oh, this is how I've, you know.
Right. You don't know anything different.
I don't know anything different. Yeah. I just got two girls and
us too.
Who I love them. Yeah. So yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing, it's just patience. Like, I think that's like really hard for me. You know, you're trying to get out the door. You're already running a few minutes behind, and someone wants your 3-year-old wants to buckle her own car seat, and she just
that's the worst.
I know, right? And she just like doesn't have the motor skills yet to do it, but she's so determined, and she just will not let you help her. And you just at that moment, I just got to like take some deep breaths and be like, okay, I'm just going to be patient. And we might be late. We might, you know, man, have to go through all that. But,
Danny,
you know, I think it's like important to let them do that. And then on the other end, she wants to get out of her car seat on her own. And so she like climbs down. It takes like 5 minutes to climb out of her car seat. Meanwhile, I'm like spotting her like behind her, make sure she doesn't fall, you know, onto the asphalt. But yeah, just like patience or things like that. And then also, you know, just like if they're, you know, not listening or, you know, just,
yeah.
Or if they're just like going through something and they just got a lot of emotions, you just got to be, you know, patient and just hear them out and just give them the space they need to process that. And I think too,
that's a good word.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, keep going.
Yeah. I think, another thing, our oldest, she's going to be six. She's a big like feeler and just like has emotions and just giving her like the room to process that is all, something new to me and something I'm working on and something that requires a lot of patience. I remember like when it first started coming up, I would ask my wife, Katie, I'd be like, is this normal? Like, is this like something I mean, what is normal? But, you know, is this like typical thing? And she's like, oh, yeah, you just got to like, let it happen. I'm like, okay, it's got to do it. Because I think for me growing up, I'm a quieter guy kind of by nature. Sure. And I think when I was younger, you know, I didn't really let a lot of like my feelings out or didn't want to be, you know, like make a scene or anything. So I held a lot of it in. But now we have this beautiful girl who just like, will tell you how she's feeling and like let it all out. And just, so I just got to sit back and be like as supportive as I can. And that just like requires patience and some deep breaths and,
I'm with you. I mean, all my daughters are somewhat are emotional, but I think especially two of them, Sarai and Joelle, like they are like, but like it'll go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
And so I can really relate. And back to the car seat thing and the whole patience thing. It's interesting to me because knowing you and having hung with you, you know, in the past, you are a pretty even keeled guy. I also struggle with patience and like that very same, like I was getting anxiety just hearing you describe the situation.
Yeah. No, same.
because I like, you know, yes, we need to go somewhere. And the type of person I am, it's like, it's hard for me to kind of be kind of redirected. It's like, okay, if we need to be here at a certain time, it's hard for me to take the focus off. You mentioned breathing. Are there any other tips? Like, how do you cope with those things and how do you maintain patience in those really stressful moments?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think like for me, like, taking deep breaths help kind of trying to like separate myself from a situation, not necessarily like physically, but like while I'm breathing, I'm just like telling myself like, okay, like she's learning, she's wanting to be independent, she's like wanting to do all these things that are positive.
Yeah.
It's just not positive in the fact that we're not going to get to where we need to go on time. but that's, I kind of tell myself that. And then also I think I know like the flip side of it is if I do try and intervene and just like, you know, do the buckles myself and just like get her in like real quick.
Yeah.
She'll start crying. She'll just, you know, it'll just be like a mess. And it's just like, I kind of just like weigh the two options, you know, like would I rather be a little bit late and have let her have this feeling of self importance or self, self-worth for getting herself in to her car seat. Or would I rather have, would I rather just do it myself and kind of like force her into this and then her being upset for the rest of the day.
Oh,
yeah. That's so good, man. Mm-hmm. Danny, tell us what is the hardest thing that you're learning in this season as a father?
I think one of the hardest things for me, just as like being a father, was kind of breaking the kind of like expectations, I think, of what I thought. I think especially like what I thought a like quote unquote like good kid would be.
Hmm.
Like I feel like when you drop like your kids off somewhere, you're like, okay, be good. Or, you know, and this like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, like, it's so subjective. And I think a lot of that was shaped by like older adults, like in my life, like when I was younger, or, you know, like going to a restaurant with certain people, and like, they might say, oh, I hope you don't sit next to any like loud kids, or like getting on an airplane, I hope I'm not sitting next to like some crying like baby.
Right.
I feel like that like was like deep in my like subconscious. And so like,
interesting.
Whenever we go out somewhere, I'm like, I'm hoping, you know, I hope no one cries or this, or, you know, I hope no one makes a scene, and trying to like, I don't know, force that onto my kids. Yeah. So doing my best to unpack that, like not have those sort of expectations on my kids, is something. Yeah. I feel like I constantly, work on.
Oh man, that's good. Bro, so you're saying that you internalized as when you were a kid and as you grew, that if you were a good kid, that meant you didn't cry, you didn't make scenes, you didn't do those types of things.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So I think just, and I don't know if it was like the way I was brought up or just me being just a quieter individual and like a quieter kid. Mm-hmm. I felt like once I like grew up and now that I have kids, I felt like that was kind of like ingrained into like my memory. And then so moving forward, I'm like, oh, kids shouldn't do this, kids shouldn't do that. But, you know, it's like the old saying, like, kids should be seen, like, not heard or whatever, you know? And just like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's totally false. That doesn't make sense. But like in the back of my mind, I think that was like somehow like maybe ingrained in there. So just doing my best to, you know, let my kids be kids and express themselves. And
I'm going to go there because this is really good. I'm in therapy right now and I'm learning myself too, like what I internalized as a kid, what it meant to be a good kid and how that's affecting my parenting. So it's a really, really rich, important topic. So I'm going to go a little deeper. Like, can you talk us through that journey? Like when did you start realizing that you were putting this unconscious expectation that you had felt as a kid on your kids? Hmm. And when did you start to correct that? Like, what were the situations and the circumstances surrounding that?
I think same for me. I think I was in therapy and just talking it over. And I think there was one instance in a restaurant where our kids were like running, the food was taking way too long. And first of all, like this type of restaurant, like we shouldn't have brought our kids to. It's just the food takes so long. It's like, it's a nicer restaurant.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, like we should have just planned this to get a babysitter or something.
Right.
But no, it was like a family member's birthday. So the kids had to come, but it wasn't necessarily a kid friendly place.
Sure.
And our kids were like running around and I don't remember what he said, but a gentleman in a table like next to us said something about, I don't remember what he said, but he said something about, he was nice about it. But he said something about, please don't have your kids like over here or something.
Dang.
So,
Hold up, he said that to you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think he said a little bit nicer than that.
That sounded pretty still, nice to me.
but still, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I think that kind of like went back like into what my subconscious of, you know, kids like shouldn't make a scene.
Sure.
But I remember I had in the moment feeling a ton of anxiety and I think I just like, we hadn't even gotten our food yet, but I took, I think one of our kids and we just like walked outside just so I can let him like run around out there. But inside I was feeling a ton of anxiety about it. Yeah. And I think later I was in therapy at the time. So I talked to my therapist about it and we started like unpack, why I felt this way, like what in the past has maybe, you know, brought up these, types like triggers and stuff. And so, I think to answer the question, I think therapy definitely, helped a lot.
Yeah. And it sounds like that incident in the restaurant. Like I've had experiences like that too. It really, really resonates with me, man. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Because there's so many things I think we just kind of go through the motions and kind of what feels familiar.
Yeah.
And don't even stop to ask those questions of like, why am I, you know, telling my kid to quiet down, or why am I telling my kid she can't ask the waitress for more cherries when she really wants more cherries?
Yeah.
But like somehow I internalize that that's disrespectful or wrong, and why? You know what I mean? So that's right. Good to ask those questions, man. That's good. And if our listeners are listeners, you know, yeah, let's ask those questions.
Yeah, I think the best that I heard it. I think it was either from a therapist or someone else, but I heard to say like your parenting style or how you parent, like the default is just to kind of copy what was modeled to you. So if your parents were strict and had a feeling of how a child should be, mm-hmm. chances are you might have a similar one, unless, you know, you are learning or, you know, breaking the cycle or something, you know, to try and like better yourself. But your default is kind of what was modeled to you. So I think kind of through therapy, through learning and everything, you know, just trying to do a little better than my parents did.
Good stuff.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff.
Kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Good.
Danny, let's talk about like the idea of, cause you're pretty much a stay at home dad, right? Like you work from home, yeah. You stay like with your partner traveling all the time. Like how do you navigate, how do you navigate that? Like being a stay at home dad, like give our listeners a snapshot of what that looks like.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I'll definitely say that. I feel like it's like the hardest job I've had, but also the most like rewarding. So, kind of how we navigate it. Like a typical day is probably, so we all get up. I usually try to run in the mornings before the girls get up. So I try to get a run or like a workout in before. And then I like make breakfast. Everyone kind of get ready. Our oldest is in kindergarten, so I'll do the school drop off. If it's a Monday, we'll drop off our kindergartner. I'll take our youngest. We'll go to the grocery store, get all the groceries for the week. Bring those home. With our youngest, we'll play. We'll go on walks. Go to the park. And then I'll make lunch for everyone. We'll do that. And then it's right around about time to go pick up at school. So then we'll go do that. And then, come back, try to let our oldest like decompress a bit from school. And then we'll like do some activities around the house. And then, my wife Katie usually gets done, early afternoonish. And so, luckily we're pretty good at like communicating as far as, usually like she'll come in, I'll take a little bit of a break and she'll, take the kids for a bit. And then, she'll usually make dinner. And we'll all eat together and then, nice. Do the bedtime routine. But yeah, I think what's very helpful for me is just, scheduling things. Like I like to have like a set schedule, but also like be open with it. You know, obviously kids, they might want to do something else. So I'm totally open for that. But as long as, if I know going into the day, we have like this and this planned.
Yeah.
I have something planned. I feel good. Like, I feel like
a lot less anxiety for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Whereas if I just woke up and be like, oh, what are we going to do today? Yeah. And like you ask a 3-year-old, what do you want to do today? They're like,
nope.
Right. Yeah. Or like, who knows what you're going to get. So for me, I feel like scheduling the days and the weeks are very helpful.
Man.
Word.
Yeah. So, man, I resonate with this like so much just because I feel like that's the life I'm living right now in this season of my life where I do a lot of my work from home. But I'm also, because my wife works a 9-to-5, I'm pretty much the primary caretaker, you know, so I'm handling all the things, the groceries, the kids going to school, all the things, you know. But if I'm honest and transparent, I don't feel like I'm doing it well enough to care for myself. I find myself burning out, you know, a lot of the times. I wondered, like, do you resonate with that? Or what are some practical tips that you can give to a guy like me that's in a season? You know, all these kids are like, it's summer break now. These kids are home.
Yeah.
Yeah, our whole normal is changing to this new normal of them being home now. So what are some tips that you can give to a father that's burned out?
For sure. Yeah. And I think a lot, I think since the pandemic, I think a lot of dads especially are working from home and maybe in a similar situation. But for me, I think, going back to like scheduling things and just, for me, like I've got to schedule the time for myself too. So whether that's in the morning, going for a run by myself or, talking with my wife, Katie, and being like, hey, after when you're done with work, can I get an hour just to run or go do something or run errands by myself? Or just to get some time by myself. Yeah. Cause I'm definitely an introvert. And so, I definitely need that time.
Yeah. Sitting by yourself.
Right.
In the bathroom. Like, shoot.
Right. Yeah.
Man.
So yeah, I definitely need that time. Do that. And it's interesting because, me and my wife were talking once. She was like, oh, like why do you feel like you need, and not an accusatory way at all, but she's like, oh, it seems like you need, more time like to yourself now compared to when you used to work like a 9 to 5. And she's like, why do you think that is? And I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, I used to drive to work 30-35 minutes like each way. So that's like an hour I used to have alone in my car. So I'm like, okay, there's some like alone time I was used to. And then at my 9 to 5, it was like, I was in an office with other people, but they weren't relying on me to entertain them. They weren't relying on me for snacks. Like I wasn't making the meals. I didn't have to, I wasn't responsible for if they lived or died during that 8 hour day. So like that was different. And again, you know, I feel like if you're like in an office, you're in an office, you know, there's like a schedule, you know, like you have a Monday morning meeting or like everyone goes to lunch and like you have all these different things built in.
Sure.
Which is what I try to do now, like with scheduling our time.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like, it's different. It's a different type of tired for sure.
That's good. For me, I've been doing that kind of at the beginning of the week. Like on Sunday night, I'll kind of look ahead and kind of put down at least those slots, those activity slots, you know. Are you doing that as well? Are you doing it like a couple weeks ahead? Are you doing it kind of each day or how's that working for you?
I would say a week ahead. I think, I think too, similar to you, I would do it on Sunday and just kind of plan out the week. And I feel like I'm a creature of habit. So I'm totally fine with planning out my week and then like repeating that week for many weeks to come. Whereas like my wife is the opposite.
I'm that guy too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. My wife is like the opposite. She's like, I don't want to go back there. We just did that. Let's find something new. But in my mind, I'm like how many days of summer do we have? I don't have that many unique activities to do.
Exactly. Right.
So I'm totally, I feel like I'm fine with it. I feel like the kids are fine with it, but just like repeat the hits, you know, if they had fun, like let's do it again next week.
Well, and I think also too, and I'm not doing this to like, cause my wife would be more similar to your wife. So I'm not doing this to be like, you know, like trying to argue or say one is better than the other. But I do feel like there is some benefit I've found in some type of routine or rhythm or something that is the same, you know, something that's predictable, something we've been doing in this season is, you know, we've been going to, you know, this one little restaurant down the street from our house every Tuesday night. And it's something that they've been looking for. It's like every Tuesday, oh, is it Tuesday? Oh, we, you know, so it's something to look forward to, is something that kind of is grounding, you know? So I do like the idea of having something, even if it's just one day a week, you know, that you have the same thing, you know? So I'm a fan of that. For sure.
I agree. Yeah. I think kids like routine. They like to know what's coming up. They like familiarity, I think. But yeah, our oldest, like we just started talking to her about like traditions. And so like, oh yeah, we have this like Christmas tradition or this tradition or like every Monday. Nice. Yeah. We'll get ice cream or, so she'll ask now like, oh, we should make a tradition for this or, oh, we should make a tradition for this.
That's cool.
Okay. Or like she tried to say like, oh, let's make a tradition for like ice cream, like every day. Like, okay, no, we can't do that. But we'll see. Yeah.
Kids are smart. That's cool.
They are.
She's so
they
smart.
So on that same note, I have a similar question. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, we talked about traditions that you guys might have. What are some values that you and your wife, Katie, have and that you are trying to instill in your girls?
Yeah. I think we just want them to be strong, self-confident women yes. that like know who they are, know their place in this world, and that place could be like anything they want it to be. So I think, yeah, that's our goal, to just raise them to be strong women who move through this world well.
Love that.
Yeah. And I think we're like still like trying to figure out what that looks like every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think long term, I think that's our goal. Just having just to be like confident kids would just be like,
yeah,
the dream, I feel like.
Yeah. That's good. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And is there any like practical ways that you guys go about that, Danny, as far as like affirmations or, you know, what do you guys do to instill confidence to your kids?
Yeah. Just trying to be as positive with them as possible.
Okay.
Affirmations. Actually took this from, one of your past guests, Josh Avis.
Okay.
I saw on Instagram, his wife actually, she filmed, their daughter Macy, like getting out of the car for school.
Yeah.
And she's just like giving her like all this positive, like praise, like, oh, you're the best. You're a great friend. You're going to do great today. Like all this stuff. Just, like yelling at Macy as she's like walking to class. I'm like, man, that's so good. And so I've been trying to do that, but like before Gracie gets out of the car, like in the morning, I'll be like, you're a great friend. You're going to do great today. You're a great learner. Yeah. Your outfit you picked out looks so good. Just trying to give them as much, like praise as possible. And also like trying our best, like not to introduce like shame, like for anything, is a big one.
That's good.
That's like one thing we definitely are kind of against and like don't like want them to feel. And I feel like that would like, I think like that's something like could really like stunt their confidence. So just being positive, you know, if they make mistakes, let them know, you know, it's okay. Like we're still like, we learn from them and we're still just all learning and just trying to get through. So.
Yeah. Danny, let's change gears. Let's talk about running. And like, I know Hector talked about you being a runner in the intro. Man, that's something I'm really interested in when it comes to self-care and all of that. I've just never done it before. But what tips can you give to a beginner dad like me that's trying to get into it? But let's talk about your journey of running.
Yeah. So I can start from the beginning. Like, yeah, I never ran in like high school or cross country or anything.
Wow.
I got into it kind of later in life. It's funny because me and Katie, like right after we got married, we took a trip to Europe and we were in like London and we were about to come home and we were late for our flight in Heathrow.
Okay.
And we had to like run to the gate. So like we got our bags, we're like running through the airport, like trying to get to the gate. I get there, like I'm at the gate and I'm just like, I'm sweating, I'm out of breath. I'm like, oh man, like I'm so out of shape. I felt like,
and but you never felt more alive.
No. I never felt more alive. Yeah. But yeah, through like high school and stuff. And I always play like basketball or volleyball, stuff like that, but never really ran. And then, but yeah, at that moment I'm like, okay, I gotta do something. So I'm like, okay, like what's something like free I can do. So I'm like, okay, I'll just start running. Mm-hmm. And so I started running, and started with like just a mile and like barely got through that. And then just slowly started running more and more and really like enjoyed it. And, nice. Yeah, started like signing up for like races and stuff. So I've done a lot of like half marathons now and a couple, full marathons. And I enjoy it. It's super fun. Then I think, yeah, the second part of your question to someone like just getting started, I would just say, start slow. Like just,
yeah,
don't like jump into it. And I think too, I think one big thing that I think, is helpful for people just starting out is don't give yourself like a distance that you want to run. Like say, oh, I want to run even like 1 mile, like my first time, like don't even start there. Be like, okay, I want to run for 5 minutes. Or start even less than that. Like I would start like 2 minutes. Be like, okay, I'm going to run for 2 minutes. Then I'm going to walk for 1 to 2 minutes. Then I'll run for 2 more minutes and then like walk for that. So I would say start first with like a run walk program and start with like time. Start running for different like time chunks as opposed to starting with distances.
Okay.
And then once you start doing, you know, a few minutes at a time, maybe go to 5 minutes, then go to like 7 minutes and then start building from there. But yeah, it's definitely a part of like self-care for me and just my health. And it's a good time to just be by myself and just think through the day and the week. And yeah, it's super helpful.
That's wow. So do you listen to music while you run? Do you just think when you run? Kind of what do you do? Podcasts?
Yeah, I'll listen to podcasts or music. But I am trying to do at least like one run a week where I don't listen to anything and just try to be a little bit more mindful and just kind of with my thoughts. So, yeah.
Nice. Oh,
dude, I love it. Man. Yeah.
So this is my last question. Okay. You know, as you think about, you know, your kids growing older and, you know, as they'll be, you know, adults someday, grown women, kind of when you think of those years and those times, what do you want to be remembered as you think about legacy? What do you want your legacy to be? And what your girls remember you by?
I mean, I think my like legacy is hopefully them. Kind of like I said earlier, I just want them to be these like strong, confident, self-aware women.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that'd be the greatest legacy is just to have these like great kids.
Wow.
Eventually adults, but you know, just to, you know, have them just be self-confident women would be amazing. But I think yeah, I just think I think I would want them to remember that I was like always there for them. I would, you know, like you want them like if they're older and like they get like into trouble or something happens, you want them to, you know, first thought, like I want them to call me, you know, to help them out.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be like afraid to call me like because of some consequence that might come.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to be that first call. And like, yes, I will help you. I'll do anything for you. Cool. And I just want them to know that.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can tell them that, you know, every day, but you know, that might not be the case. You might not be that first call, but, I feel like that is something like, you know, I want them to be able to, just be like, be able to trust me and just feel like, I'd help them with anything. So
I love that.
Wow.
Good stuff, man.
Danny, you're a great dad, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
You are like,
just dude, you guys too.
Listen to your story, man. And just, you're inspiration. Seriously.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Seeing your posts that you post.
Yeah.
Hearing your stories and,
Yeah, man, just want to affirm you in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Likewise to you guys. I feel like what you guys are doing for dads is so necessary, and there's not a lot of resources out there. So podcasts like this, I think, are super helpful.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. We can't let you leave today without giving us some much needed fashion tips. Okay. Cause you're one of the most fashionable dads we know.
Oh man.
I remember talking to Katie about you in your closet and how you used to have your closet laid out. Give us a real quick, like some real quick tips about that.
That was a good closet. yeah. So,
for our listeners, some context, because before you all had kids, you worked a long time in the clothes industry, right?
Yeah.
Retail.
Yeah, I worked retail and I worked for a few brands, doing stuff like that, and so. Yeah, always just kind of had like a knack for it. Always kind of enjoyed it. But, yeah, I guess like when I hang my shirts, I hang them from like light colors to dark colors. And so it just kind of like, I think it looks better. So when I hung up, so it kind of goes from there. Also, like I like to be like really organized. So, I had like all my shoes like stacked up kind of like nice and neat. And yeah, just shirts on like the top bar, like light to dark, and then pants hanging on the bottom, light to dark. So,
do you have any types of clothes that are folded and like in drawers, or are all of your clothes hanging?
No. Yeah. I have like my t-shirts and like shorts, like more casual stuff is folded. But yeah, I feel like though, like since I become a dad, like my style is kind of like weaned off a bit, or just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I dress a little more casual now.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I feel like every day this last week, I've just been in like a pair of basketball shorts.
Bro.
And may or may not have the same pair of basketball shorts in a couple days of those weeks. Yes.
Nice.
I get it.
Nice. Yeah.
Danny, you come off as a guy that like no plastic hangers, is all wooden hangers. Is that true? In your closet?
Yeah, for a while I had all wooden hangers. Yeah. When I had the space for it, for sure. Yeah.
That's shit. I was going to say, I thought I was doing good because I didn't have any metal hangers. But man, plastic hangers too?
No,
I need
to
step up
good.
My game.
First of all, no metal hangers. That's just a general rule. Like, yeah, for everyone out there, don't do the metal hangers. Just get rid of those. And then just try to get all matching hangers. If it's all plastic, that's fine. If it's all metal, if it's all wood, that's good too. But yeah, no metal hangers.
Man, that's awesome.
Man, Danny, this is great. Thank you for making the time. Thank you for being with us. And I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of what they heard, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you guys. Again, a lot of fun. And thanks for doing this podcast. Yeah, it's super helpful.
Appreciate you. Once again, for all the dads out there, know that we stand with you. Know that we see you. Be strong. Be encouraged and continue to follow us on our journey of becoming the best dad ever. Peace.